Today, visiting with State Senator Jesse Green. Good to have you here.
Hey, good to be with you, Jim.
It's been, I didn't get a hold of you earlier. We had a lot of other programs that were coming up on Fridays, but, condition of the state address, judiciary, we've called them like pomp and circumstance things in the past. They were all good presentations and stuff. And then a lot of beginning work in your second time down, second session, or second time around again for your term.
Well, it's been interesting to look back at the different years being at the condition of the state speech. To me, that's the big thing that kicks a session off right. And all those years of memory sitting with Phil, listening to the speech and talking back and forth about, what is the governor going to talk about this and what's going to be her big things that she's thinking about. Now, this year, I got to sit with Representative Chad Bain, and so a whole host of new memories this year. But the condition of the state speech, I think if you compare to previous speeches, it is a little bit different in tone. This year, you don't see that one huge overarching issue that is very divisive, like whether it's AEAs or school choice, mm-hmm. or constitutional carry, some of those things. This year, the big issue is definitely property taxes, but I thought it was interesting how in her speech she left that topic out, to defer to the legislature. But nevertheless, she did highlight quite a few different issues that she would like us to tackle this year, and I see a lot of momentum to carry out some of her visions.
So is that, I was going to text you guys because I saw it, and I saw you guys were together. I was going to say wave, but I tried that every year, and by the time you get the text, it's already, they moved the camera away from you. So
yeah.
But it was one of those where not a lot of big items, but a lot of recognition on what's been done so far and how we continue to go forward. So again, you're this time around, the first time you were down there was a lot of learning experience, and then each year a little bit different, a little more a better handle on what's going on. So this year you got some things that you're looking at, and we'll talk about the gambling thing. Well, let's go with the moratorium. That seems to be the hot thing right now.
Yeah, so every year we start off session with one big item that kind of sucks the air out of the room, and ironically this year it's a casino moratorium is the hot topic, and rightly so. We've already passed out a moratorium at least once since I've been down there, and I just think it's interesting how this topic keeps coming up, and I keep asking myself a question all the time: is this really healthy for the legislature to be having this conversation every 3 to 5 years? And so regardless of what happens this year, I hope we come up with a long-term solution to where the legislature doesn't have to bring this up anymore. And the only way that we can get to that point is by adding more rules and to the reporting requirements that the Racing Gaming Commission Board in the future give them some parameters of how they make their decisions and then how they report back to the legislature. And I hope in some way we can get some new rules in and let them do their jobs. Also, I think it's kind of ironic where here we are a week from the deadline, February 6th, and I've yet to get some of the just simple data about how do we rank in the nation per capita for casinos. Like, you'd think with all the people talking about this issue, that would be a simple fact that a lobbyist somewhere or whatever could come and answer, and it seems like nobody has that answer. And so to me, it's just ironic. But
people want to protect their territory.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure you've been contacted.
Oh, sure. I mean, the Wild Rose has interest in this, but nevertheless, the casino that's being talked about is in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
And so I understand the Wild Rose's concerns a little bit about the future possible ramifications of not having a moratorium, possibly competition coming into this area. But in the immediate situation, I just don't see how that Cedar Rapids issue would hurt them. But nevertheless, next week that'll be a big vote. I'm still gathering information this weekend, and we'll see what happens.
Something will be decided one way or another, and I understand. You know, some say, well, it should be left to the Gaming and Raising a Gaming Commission. Should the legislature be involved, like you said? So.
Ironically, somebody brought up a really good point yesterday. Everybody keeps talking about when is it okay for government to step in private industry and kind of rock the boat a little bit. And somebody actually suggested putting a 5-year moratorium on the pipeline, on with a 5-year moratorium with the casinos. And that made minds explode.
But. So That would... Speaking of the yeah. pipeline, and again, we're talking about carbon pipe, you know, in particular, is really the big focus. And again, using eminent domain and things, we saw the state legislature in South Dakota this week did take some action that said, didn't say they couldn't build it, but they couldn't use eminent domain.
Sure. I really love this topic, starting from a 30,000-foot view about what's led us to this point. And one is we have to recognize that in 2005, I believe it was, there was a Supreme Court decision that allowed eminent domain for economic development purposes. And that kind of opened up Pandora's box for some of these different projects to come to fruition. And so it was a split 5-4 decision back in 2005. And I think that's reflective of the society's differences on this topic. And so I thought the most important thing I could do as a legislator was to sign on to a lawsuit to hopefully have a case that goes back to the Supreme Court so we can rehear this constitutional mm-hmm. question. That is the most important thing, is the constitutionality to this. To follow that up, I filed a bill, Senate File 92. It came from County Attorney Thomas Lane from Greene County. And so this deals with future projects, and to your point about South Dakota, it would just require that there's 100% sign-up rate, and you cannot condemn agricultural land for eminent domain purposes. So I believe I have the best bill in the Capitol because I think it's friendly to business, where we don't change the rules in the middle of the game due to phase one of the project.
Mm-hmm.
We are just drawing a line in the sand that from this point forward, this is how we're going to look at this topic. And so we'll see where that conversation goes. But nevertheless, South Dakota, one thing we can learn from them is there's 14 legislators that got booted out of South Dakota if they didn't take this topic seriously. And so we need to have a robust conversation about this, and I think it's happening.
And again, there are others. There's that part of the public good, or is it just business? And I think pretty well most say this is just business. The one that we're talking about on carbon.
So the three camps that you have is you have the climate change camp, you have the big business camp, and then you have a property rights camp. And this issue kind of blurs the lines a little bit. And I thought it was fascinating that the Democrat Party a couple weeks ago or so made an official statement that they were not going to take a stance on this pipeline, and they were going to let their individual legislators determine what was best for their districts. And I thought that was, one, I appreciate the honesty with that. But I guarantee you the push from that camp is, hey, we got to do something about climate change, so we need this project.
So, well, we'll see how that goes. Now, is that which committee is it coming out of, and how will that go forward?
Well, it is in Commerce Committee, and Senator Buslow is chairman of that. He is going to have a broader property rights conversation, but I'm curious if the House brings over a bill of their own that might create pressure in the Senate to where they look at all the options on the table, and then they see my option, and they say, you know what, Senator Green's got a fleshed out bill that represents the Senate's wishes. So let's take that bill. Okay. That's my hope.
So we'll see. Again, because you've got things on both sides going, too. Do you have some others that you're working on and are getting ready to move forward with?
Yeah, so a couple bills that's gaining some attention is Senate File 8. I ran a subcommittee for this last week. It's probably the most controversial bill that I ran, and that is the pronoun bill that people are calling it. And what it does is it protects teachers from disciplinary actions if they do not use a preferred pronoun of an employee or a student. And some people are saying this is a solution in search of a problem, but there's a few other states where there's been cases of teachers getting disciplined or fired for not using someone's preferred pronoun, and I just don't think that's something that should ever be considered. And so this will add added protections as far as actually I don't think it adds necessarily any protections as the Constitution doesn't already give them in the First Amendment. But this is going to make it very crystal clear that in Iowa, do not even consider reprimanding a teacher if somehow they're someone's trying to have them violate their conscience in a given situation.
So, again, that's one you've got, again, that you think might be a little more controversial.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the one that I've gotten the most angry feedback about. But Senate Study Bill 1030 is another one that's gaining positive attention, I would say. That is requiring a civics test that comes from the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services website where it's a 100-question test, and you must get 60% or better in order to pass it. And in the past, the Senate has done some civics requirements legislation, but then it dies in the House. But now I see an opportunity where the House is picking it up, and I think we're going to come to an agreement that this is something that needs to be done. I mean, studies show that students are not as knowledgeable about civics and our way of life and what makes America special. And so I do think this bill is needed.
Yeah, and I can remember even your predecessor having this issue. Jerry Bain had brought that up previously too. So it's not a new piece of legislation, but again, it's a matter of, will the other chamber be willing to go to work on it?
Sure. As time changes, philosophies changes of the chambers, and sometimes the House gets less prescriptive than the Senate in Iowa code as to what should be taught or not taught. And now the roles have kind of equalized where we both see that there is a time and a place for us to get prescriptive in code as to what should be taught.
What other things are happening? I know that we're starting to see some of the, on the education side, because we've got to figure out how much, what our dollars are going to be. That's one of those things that come in there. So is that starting to show up?
Yeah, so we released our budget proposal from the Senate, which matches the governor, which allocates a $235 million of new spending for K through 12. This now puts us over $4 billion in investment in education in the state of Iowa. And about $90 million of that will be to the ESA program, which some find controversial or whatever, some pushback. Yeah. But the rest of that goes through K through 12. What's not highlighted in that is that this fulfills our promises on the teacher pay that was passed last year. Mm-hmm. This is the second year of the implementation of that. It also gives an increase to transportation equity, which is huge for rural Iowa. And so I think overall it's a good plan. It's again, it's flexible, it's sustainable, reliable funding. And if we can get it passed out next week, I'll be really proud that we can do that, because really timing is everything for the school districts when it comes to knowing this. And I'd like to pop this up here where I think it's interesting that when I look around the school districts in our district, I've got the unspent balances of what schools have not spent. And it looks to me that every school district is in a very healthy place. Guthrie County Schools, they are in the midst of possibly consolidating, and so their unspent balances are kind of low right now. Mm-hmm. But other than them, everybody else seems to be in a healthy spot. So
I know among the things that are going on, and we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but you do have some schools within your district are looking at potential consolidation. They've been doing whole grade sharing for some time. Some don't even want to consider it. Others do. Is there a way to, we've talked about incentivizing some of these things to streamline what's happening at the local level. Already, I know if they share people and administratively, that's a great opportunity for both districts to benefit.
Sure. So this is, and now we're going to open up Pandora's box here. So, for years we've had incentives for schools to whole grade share and consider consolidation and consolidate. This is a part of a broader conversation of how much local government do we need in the state of Iowa and what places. And obviously property taxes is the number one issue that people are talking about. And so this year we're going to renew the incentives for schools, and we need to do that every 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding there's three schools around the state that are looking to consolidate, and they want these incentives, and one of them happens to be in my district. So we'll get that done, but I think it's interesting that we need to have a broader conversation about consolidation of local government and how the state can help incentivize, maybe in ways of law enforcement or fire or some of these other things. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I don't think we can have a real property tax conversation unless we talk about consolidation of services of some sort. Because it's such a complicated topic. But like I said before, I think I've said it on this program, I'll never forget when Governor DeSantis came into our state and toured it. One of his first comments was, "You guys have so much local government." And he didn't say that in a negative light or a positive light. He just, that was just a reality that he saw. And so if property tax is such a big issue for our constituents, then we need to have a serious conversation about consolidation of services.
But once again, streamlines it, makes it cost effective. So. Mm-hmm. Got to do that. Well, we do. We keep working away at that. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other bills? Anything else you were working on? People wouldn't necessarily realize it.
Well, there's a ton of bills that come out. This is the first session of a new assembly. You got a lot of new members, so it's kind of fun to see, freshmen come up with sometimes new ideas. Sometimes they think they have a new idea, but it's been filed about 20 times. But nevertheless, it's really fun to see some of these different things that pop up. This year, you're going to see another incentive. Or another push for hands-free legislation. We did pass this out of the Senate last year and it died in the House. Representative Meyer, who's from Fort Dodge, is very passionate about this topic. And I'll never forget coming into the legislature, I was 100% opposed to hands-free legislation. But then when I saw the data, and really it's, I think it's pretty scary how many accidents happen due to texting and driving. I think it's absolutely necessary. This is a place for government, I think, to step in and put some boundaries. So that's going to be a huge topic.
And that's what the governor would like.
Yeah, the governor said that in her condition of safe speech, and when I heard that, I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's going to pass with this encouragement from the governor. So,
how many will actually pay attention if it's 20-30%? But that's what we've seen data wise, reduction in accidents in states that have done it.
Yes.
About 20-30%?
I think the data just absolutely proves, without a shadow of a doubt, there's so many benefits if we pass this, and I think it's definitely time. Also, the governor in her condition of the state speech talked about cell phones. I don't think that's a really controversial issue because according to her plan, you just cannot have cell phones during instructional time. And 75% of schools in the state of Iowa are already doing that, so we're just kind of encouraging the last 25% to come up with some sort of plan. I don't think that's really controversial at the end of the day, but
I don't think there's too many districts in your district that school districts that don't have some sort of restrictions or guidelines.
Yeah. So in my personal budget, the number one thing I'm going to keep pressing this session, and you'll hear me talk about over and over, is I do have some. Say in regards to teacher loan repayment programs, physician loan repayment programs, that's all within my education budget. And I've seen just so much success when it comes to these types of programs. And last year we increased the starting teacher pay across Iowa, which was absolutely necessary. We're the fifth highest in the nation. Now I think we can follow that up and with this broadening of the teacher loan repayment program for teachers that come out to rural Iowa, live, work, and raise their families. And so you'll hear me talk about that quite a bit.
The same in healthcare.
Yep.
Again, that's the same thing, the physician recruitment part, too. You do have a chamber forum that'll be coming up in a couple of weeks here. I think you
Yes, sir. A week from Monday, which, according to your calendar, would be the 9th or 10th.
10th.
If I remember right, it's 8:30 at the library. I would love to see you this weekend. The other forums that I have is down in Guthrie County at Panora. Greene County is always fun and lively. At Jefferson Gardens, so those are my three forums.
Okay, and I do know you had a number of people come down and visit. You had a lot of FFA students down there.
Yeah, so come down to the Capitol, say hi anytime. I need the exercise to go up to the dome once in a while, but Chad, he's really fit, and so I want to make sure that he gets his exercise in as well. So come down, say hi, let us take you to the dome, and that's always one of the best experiences at the Capitol.
So again, I do appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us and let us know what's going on. Look forward to visiting with you again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.